So just wanted to welcome everybody online. Great to see everybody here, obviously. We want to jump into God's word. So Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to be looking for this terminology of sackcloth and ashes and how people confess to God, how people slowed down and mourned. And how do we do that well? How do we do that biblically? Because there's all different kinds of ways of mourning and grieving, and we see that just in the world and maybe different clothing that we wear. But how do we do it well in God's presence? So I want to show you just a couple stories here. So Genesis chapter 37, we'll jump into the story in verse 34. It said, "Then Jacob tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and mourned for his son for many days. Verse 35, all of his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. No, he said, in mourning will I go down to the grave to my son. So his father wept for his son Joseph. So there's a story in the Old Testament, Father Jacob's got many sons. His son Joseph is sold by his brothers. That's family dynamics at its worst, right? And so his father's mourning the loss of one of his sons. And he puts on sackcloth. And so I want to look at just a couple reasons why we would put on sackcloth. And we see in the Old Testament here, but we'll see it a little bit in the New Testament. There's three good reasons. Now, the first one is a loss of a person, a loss of fellowship with somebody. Again, we talked about that weeks ago. We don't lose relationship with people, but we lose the fellowship with them here on earth in a physical sense. The second one is the sins for a community or for a nation. When we see our community or our nation going in destructive ways, how do we actually mourn? How do we actually grieve? How do we pray for that? I want to look at that. And the third one we'll look at is our disobedience. Let's get personal. In our own disobedience, in our own sin. How do we grieve that well? How do we mourn that well? So there's a couple things we want to look at. So putting on sackcloth. The use of sackcloth for mourning and loss, or sackcloth, which we'll see in another one. Jacob only used sackcloth. He didn't use ashes. But when we put those together, it's a period of repentance for disaster, as we just kind of spoke about. Poor Jacob was missing his son. Let me show you just, again, some other stories around this sackcloth and ashes about mourning here. So in Esther, we read this story even last week a little bit, but this is kind of where I launched out of because I thought, oh, this is so good in a sense. I mean, it's hard, but it's good. So Esther chapter 1, we read about this individual. It says, when Mordecai learned that all he had done, that all had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and he put on ashes and went out into the city wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter in. In every province to which the edict and the order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting and weeping and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So the purpose of Mordecai putting on sackcloth and ashes was because there was an order from the king that they were going to kill all Jews or kill all Israelites. And so he was mourning for the nation, saying, oh my word, this is going to be terrible. Let me almost mourn and intercede on their behalf of what's coming down the pipe. And when we see it put that way, I find like it's an external, it's on the outside, you're wearing something, of really what's going on internally. And we would see that in our body language, don't we? You run into somebody and you're like, you usually don't say this, but in your mind, you're thinking, you look terrible. You know, like when I go to the hospital and I see people or, you know, they're recovering from something, I will never say that, I promise you. Whenever you go there, I know I'm going to visit you. I won't tell you that, but you know it. You're like, I feel so terrible. I must look also terrible on the outside. And so we see this even in our mourning or even in our grieving time or a loss of something, right? You see something, how are you doing? And just like, yeah, it's heavy. It's a weight. You can't hide it. You can sometimes kind of dress it up a little bit, but ultimately it's really hard to hide that. So what's going on internally usually presents itself really again on the outside. So what's the physical items of sackcloth and ashes? Like sackcloth. Like, what is that? You know, I saw some pictures of some people doing it kind of most recently, and they had basically like the sacks of potatoes, that kind of burlap thing, or, you know, where your coffee came in. And so they kind of were putting that on and putting some dirt on their face. And I was thinking, I guess that's kind of what it would look like. But just so we're clear, it was really a coarse material, a loose burlap-like cloth, often made of goat's hair, like a black goat's hair. It was worn by mourners, again, to signify their period of mourning, of an expression of remorse and repentance. It honestly was super discomfortable. It was itchy, heavy, kind of pokey, and you know, like something that you would wear, you're like, oh, this is terrible. You would never buy this item. But again, it was a sign to significance that you were like, I'm in mourning. I'm willing to put on a little bit of discomfort right now because I'm uncomfortable internally. And ash, what did that mean as well? And so sometimes you wear the garment and then you put ash. Sometimes they say they would dump ash on their head or they would put it on their face. And it was in repentance of something that was broken or something that was hurt or smashed. Lots of times in these contexts, there was war. And war would come in and they'd burn your house to the ground and there was ash left over. And they would say, I miss that thing or whatever it was that they were missing. So they would put it on themselves. And it really signifies as well, if we go right back to the beginning, when God's talking about to the people, he's saying, I'm going to create mankind. I'm going to create them from what? And we see this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. It says, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are and dust you will return. So there is this kind of coming back in a sense as well. We put on these ash at that point. So sackcloth and ashes together, it's an external symbol of an inward state, demonstrating again repentance, grief, and humility, repentance, and all those kind of things. So let me look at a third story here. So we see the first one is the loss of an individual. The second story is a loss of the community or the nation's going the wrong way. And the third one here is, let's get personal. Let's talk about ourselves as individuals. So there's a story in Jonah about the Ninevites. And in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, it says, the Ninevites believed God. You know, they had gone the wrong way, and Jonah had brought them back. He brought God's word to them. They believed God. They declared a fast. They just, in their repentance, they declared to fast. All of them, from the greatest to the least, they put on sackcloth. Verse 6, when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust, sat down in the ashes of all of their, wickedness. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, don't let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Don't let them eat or drink, but let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up this. This is why they did it. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. It was an evil place. And they were doing all these things that were against God. And they had come to their senses, in a sense. They'd come to a place of repentance. And they were saying, we're going to not only put on sackcloth and ashes, we're going to start fasting. Don't touch food. Don't even touch a drink until we get right with God. And I love how that just speaks to us. God wants us there as quickly as possible, because we would discredit the cross. We would discredit what we just heard in that prophetic word, that his stripes have healed us, his blood has cleansed us. The longer we sit in disobedience, the longer we sit in our sin, how foolish would that be when Jesus has died for it all and wants to clean us right now? All we got to do is just turn to him. We spend a little bit of time here. They get serious. They get on their knees. They repent. They put a time out of things. Actually, you know that schedule I have? I actually need to cancel that appointment because I need to get right with my God right now. Isn't that important? How important is that? It's very, very important. So I just love that idea of just kind of making that shift in our minds. Like, we're just going to pause right now and get right with God. Are we willing to give up something really earthly for God, in this sense, like clothing? Because when we do that, we inherit a spiritual value, something that's priceless. You know, your clothes are cheap. And sometimes when we read these stories, I just love the, the context of, like, I actually like my clothes. I don't want to be ripping them off, like, and then all of a sudden putting on, like, something really ugly looking. But we can't see change in our lives if we're not willing to give up something that we would find valuable. Because that's where God is. That's where where's our heart in that? We must be willing to part with something to really receive true freedom. Let me just read one, which I love this part. 2 Kings chapter 19 that would just refer to a similar story. So King Hezekiah, I even have a photo here of King Hezekiah in his repentance. And this is a drawing. We'll see how biblically accurate it is, like pictures of Jesus and all those kind of things. You know, we don't really know what the guy looked like. There's a picture of him just really repenting and coming to his knees. And you see his followers and those that are around him are all repenting with him in the temple courts. We see in 2 Kings 19, verse 1, it says, when King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord. I see that here, and then it just lists, you know, all the other people that were with him. Verse 3, it says, they told him, this is what Hezekiah says, this day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace and as when children come to the point of birth and there's no more strength to deliver them, when moms are trying to deliver babies and they're just exhausted. You know, they're repenting. They're giving it all. They're not messing around. King Hezekiah, I love this. Okay, king. Now we saw that the king of Nineveh, it said that he took off his clothes very gently and just laid them over here, put on my sackcloth and my ashes. But King Hezekiah, it says he heard this, he tore his clothes off. The royal robes, like, whoa, like, hold on, King Hezekiah. I can't imagine his helpers were like, oh my word, that's been handed down for generations, and he just tore it to pieces because he was so passionate about getting right with God. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter. Whatever the cost is, I'm paying it. Whatever it looks like, I'm giving it up because I want to be free. I want to confess my sin to God. I want to be right in relationship with my king. His black clothes exist as modern equivalent for us today as sackcloth and ashes. We see we've kind of inherited that over time. We see black being worn quite often. Black suits, black ties, everyone's in black limousines, black umbrellas. We see all that in the movie. That's a very important thing. There doesn't seem to be really a modern equivalent for the combined expression and repentance of humility expressed in sackcloth and ashes. When something happens and you're trying to repent and get right with God, do you put yourself in an uncomfortable position? I don't know. I don't see that. We don't teach that very often. We don't preach that. Do you wear something that's uncomfortable? What kind of clothes do you have in your house? You're like, this is terrible. I hate this thing. You know, why did my wife buy that for me? That's terrible. We got to be careful here. But, you know, you don't wear it often because it's uncomfortable. But do we, and are we okay to get uncomfortable in God's presence? I know often I encourage you and I say, you know, we got to get like calluses on our knees. Yeah. You know, get on our knees and repent before God. We got to get on our faces before God because we never want to be separated from him. So I feel like over the last couple of years, and I shared this in a little bit of my own testimony with you, is that we've just kind of scheduled. There's this new schedule that we have in our lives, isn't there? And it's justified in a sense because we weren't able to even gather for long stretches of time. We weren't able to do Bible studies and ministry and all these kind of things. So we've just filled up our lives like any normal person would. And I'm in agreement with you. We've just got our new flow of life. But I wonder in that we've scheduled out, we haven't made space anymore for some Christian fundamentals like repentance, like confessing our sins, like community confession as well. Especially when we get together to pray as individuals, it comes out usually. And this is where I am very concerned as a church, as a community, as Christianity as a whole, is that typically, even when you guys see me often, you're like, Pastor, how are you doing? Because you know about my thyroid. And I have to be honest with you because you're right there and I can't, like, you know, it's a text or something. I can just kind of skirt around the bushes. So when we get together, lots of times we're open, especially with somebody that we trust. And so when we don't do that anymore because we've scheduled our lives so busily, there is an opportunity, I think, that we are missing out on for God to come and help us, God to come and help set us free, to put us on the right path again. So I want to make sure that as a church, we're not just like, well, I'll problem solve my way out of this, or I'll pass the buck, or I'll blame some other situation, right? Oh, the reason I felt this way or this happened to me because this situation, just talk it out, like, I'll reason my way out of this. Like, that's ludicrous. I hate to say that. But we actually need to bring that to God. You say, God, I'm so sorry for that. When we flick on the TV and we realize what's going on in the world and we say, oh, we're praying for our government, I agree with that. But do we get on our knees for our community, for our nation, and say, God, we want to get back to Jesus. We want to get back to the fundamentals of Christianity. I wonder if our thinking is around that. I love the addition. Let's go just a little bit further. Sackcloth and ashes. Oh, wow, that's really hard. But then we add fasting to it, like, man, not eating. Are you crazy? I love food. Although with my thyroid, they're saying, don't eat that kind of food. Oh, that's all my favorite food. What are we doing here? You know, we're dying over here. But in Isaiah 51, there's this wonderful story. Isaiah 58. The subheading, it's helpful to read the little heading there in 50. It says, true fasting. So Isaiah 58, jumping in verse 5. We're just going to read a couple verses here, and then we'll kind of wrap it up. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen, only a day for a man to humble himself? It is only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? It's not this kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke and set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Did you see that? Holy smokes, thank you, Jesus. As we lay in sackcloth and ashes and fasting, this is what it equals. You see, I don't eat food and I get rest, all kind of stuff. And what it equals is a painful thyroid. But when we do this thing, look at the results. Did listen to that word. It's the kind of fasting I've chosen to loose the chains of injustice. Whoa. And untie the cords of that heavy, heavy anxiety yoke, that worry yoke, whatever that thing is. It's going to be lifted in Jesus' name. Where am I? I'm lost. And to set the oppressed free. Oh, we need those people to be set free. I was one of them for a long time. And break every yoke. Whew! Thank you, Lord. Thank you for his word. That's Isaiah the prophet prophesying over us, prophesying over people, that if we would do this, we would see a real shift in somebody's life. Thank you, God. We didn't even read half the thing. And I bent the paper in my Bible. That's terrible, man. Okay, verse 7. Isn't the word exciting, though? Come on. Like, we get answers. We have problems. We have answers. So good. Verse 7 is, it's not to share. Look at my glasses. I need a bigger Bible print. It's not to share your food with the hungry. Oh, no. Is it not? Crikey, we got to get it right. Is it not your food to share with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, you clothe him. And not to turn away with your own flesh and blood. When your light will break forth like the dawn. And your healing will quickly appear. Oh, we need some healing. Then your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Oh, I need somebody protecting me all around. Then when you call, the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. Oh, here I am. When we cry out to God in this fashion, God will see us. And here I am, he says to us. I'm going to lift every yoke, lift every burden, lift all the oppressed. Whew, that's powerful. Let's do one more story here, and then we'll wrap it up. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9 here. Starting in verse 1. It says, on the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting and wearing sackcloth and having dust in their heads. So we see again them doing this. And let's watch what happens. Those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all the foreigners. They stood in the places and confessed their sins and their wickedness of the fathers. Verse 3, this is going to get so fun. Listen to this. They stood there when And they read the book of the law of the Lord. I'm getting so excited. I'm like losing track of what I'm trying to say here. The book of the Lord for a quarter of the day. A quarter of the day they read the word of God. Spent another quarter of the day in confession and worshiping the Lord. I want to have that kind of a day. You know, I think often we have prayer gatherings and we're like, you know, we got a pretty good attendance. You know, we're like, okay, prayer, yeah, we can get behind that. What about a confession special service? Right? You'd all be like, geez, I don't want to be a part of that thing. You know? You know, like when we do like marriage courses or divorce courses, we're all like, oh, I don't want to be a part of that thing. I want to admit that I have a problem. Like, blah, 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 you know? Like a confession service. Whoa, yeah, that would be awesome, right? Yeah, there's a little bit of quietness on you. I know you guys are online are kind of like, oh, I'm glad I'm at home, man. I don't want to be in part of that service. And worship, you know, like a worship night. Oh, phew, I can get behind a worship night, no problem. And then as we get into worship and God starts speaking to you, then he brings you to your knees. As you start worshiping God, you realize, oh, I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I need Jesus. And we start confessing with our mouths. And I want to do that all day long. Isn't that just a great thought? Here, Nehemiah is doing that. So good. We need the opportunity, I think, sometimes. We need to be presented with an opportunity in our schedules to make space for that. And I think just as a pastor, as a church, I'm just giving you the green light. I'm just saying, do it. Whatever this week looks like, you got to cancel something. You don't want to go golfing? It's ridiculous. No, yeah, actually, I really do want to go golfing. Pastor Mike's here from Houston, so just recognize you in the back row. You know, we're going to go golfing tomorrow, like, yeah, good guy. And but just to make time, like, to be realistic about that, to say, actually, I think you just need permission sometimes, like, that's okay to do. And to tell your wife or your spouse, say, I actually just need to just spend a little bit of time with Jesus right now. I got to get my life in order. Just picture this. Okay, so, you know, spouses, husbands, and wives, you get this. When your husband or wife or whatever goes to an event, sometimes it's a conference, sometimes it's a ladies' Bible study, sometimes it's a, you know, whatever it is. When they come back, how are they? What has happened internally is expressed on the outside, externally, isn't it? You're like, you're looking good. Like, wow, you got a smile on your face. Like, how was the little meeting or whatever? You're like, that was a good meeting. And what happened? And for guys, you're like, well, I don't know. That was good. You know, you can't explain it, but you can see it, right? You can't put into words what happened, but boy, you look excited. And for ladies, I can tell you exactly what happened, everything that happened, right? It was all the moving parts to it. And then you had tea and crumpets, and it was brilliant, right? That's just reality. That's okay. That's serious. It's good, though, because we need to hear that because we don't want to say much, and so we just want to listen and nod. I'm way off in left field here. Let's keep going here. But make space for that. Okay, so last thought here. Why is it super important? We've got this photo here, just a quick photo of just this guy. He's kind of repenting, and he's in sackcloth, and I don't think he's got ashes on because he doesn't look that dirty, but just... Do you see the grieving inside of him? You just see that, just in a picture. You can see that. He's serious. He's not messing around right now. Like he's serious. And so I want to finish with this one quick story, King David. So we know King David, you know, is a great guy, did wonderful things. He kind of, you know, blew it a few times and had this adulterous affair. That's kind of serious. We shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. But when he comes to God in repentance, and my wife read from Psalm 42, and I'm going to read from Psalm 51 in just a second. But when he realized that he was wrong in his sin, he came to God. And just, you got to visualize King David as well, like the kingdom that he had inherited. I kind of feel like that way here. 87 years as a church, like the history of this church, like, oh, it's so good. And then King David, like the wealth, like, you know, obviously we know there was Solomon and a few others that were just like multi-trillionaires. But King David is up there as well, like in the top, you know, numbers, like lots and lots to lose. And this is just biblical history, but women, he had tons of wives. You know, he was kind of taking all the good-looking women, you know, all part of my kingdom here. And he comes to God, though, and listen to what he says. It's important to know what he didn't say. He didn't say, God, I don't want to lose the kingdom. God, I don't want to lose all this wealth. I don't want these nice clothes. You know all my women. I don't want to lose any of that. All the food, this nice food I eat. He doesn't care about that. Listen to what he says in verse 11 of Psalm 51. Don't cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. That's what's important. All that other stuff is external. All that other stuff is material. If we lose the presence of God, I hope that we mourn and that we grieve that loss and we want to confess to God so we can get back into right relationship with him and do it quickly. Again, don't wait around. So let me just close with this kind of a thought here. As a church, I want us to do this together corporately, is to just spend a moment right now. Because I always believe that the Holy Spirit works one at a time, one thing at a time. There's lots of things we need to work on or get right or confess to God. But as I've been speaking, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, and something that I said comically or, you know, jokingly or the Word of God, but something has spoken to you that you need to confess to God. You've been so busy, you haven't had time to do it. So we're going to make space to do that in just a moment here. So I want you to just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, whatever it is, and you can internally talk to God. We all do that sometimes. We're just, you know, you're in the mall or something, you don't want to say things out loud. And so you have an internal conversation with God. God, I'm so sorry. God, just repent of that. I want to get right in your sight. I want to get back in relationship with you. And for some of you, you might want to say it out loud. That's okay. You might have some people come around and pray with you. That's always fun too. Whatever that looks like, I want to make space for that. For those that are online, well, you're in the comfort of your home. That makes it pretty easy for you. So let's just be quiet just for a moment. Usually closing your eyes helps so you're not distracted. And Father, whatever you want to do in every person's life here that's listening today, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. Lord, as a church, we want to honor you. We want to be faithful to you. We want to move in the right direction towards you. But we need to be in right relationship with you as well. So help us to do that today and this week. Father, we just repent. We confess our disobedience and our sin. Help us to be right with you. Lord, whatever wall you need to break down, would it come down today? Lord, would this be just a turning point for some people? Would there be like this paradigm shift for some people in their lives? Would they look back on this day and say, that's the day that I was really free? That's the day God just cleaned house. So Lord, as a church, again, we just rejoice in your presence. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for everything that you're doing and speaking into our lives, into our church. Help us to walk it well in Jesus' precious name. Amen.